I so enjoyed our interview with Micah and seeing fasting, the discipline of fasting, from that new and novel perspective. But today I'm really excited to see it from the other end of the spectrum. Today we're going to talk with a woman who has made fasting as a discipline, a part of her everyday, every week sort of walk with the Lord. It's just a part of her time with Him on a regular basis. And so we get to see the other end of the perspective where, you know, it is something that is old hat to her in a sense, and yet with its newness, it's alive again and again every time that she practices this discipline. So we get to see the other end of the spectrum today. So let me introduce to you Miss Jeannie. All right. Well, we're meeting with Miss Jeannie today, who is meant to be someone who is further along in the process of learning the discipline of fasting. And so I just want to pick your brain a little bit. I just want to see what fasting looks like for you, what the benefits are for you, and help us to answer some of the questions that somebody who's never tried it, especially. We just don't know. I mean, we've talked about it before, that a lot of young people, they've never even heard of this. They've never seen it done. And so they don't even know the particulars of what does it mean to fast, what do you fast from, how often do you do that, stuff like that. So what does a fast look like to you?
Okay, I am committed to fast for one day. And I usually do it on a Monday. Monday, there are usually fewer things that would interfere with fasting. So the last thing I do on Sunday night is stop eating and drinking for the night. And then all day Monday, I spend praying, worshiping God. I spend time without any food, but I do drink. I do have tea, and I do have water with a little bit of lemon in it. So that's kind of what a day looks like. I feel that two of the components that need to be a part of my fasting are prayer, reading God's word, and then focusing in on either individuals or groups or other things that are out there that are important, whether they're local or whether they're other places. But I feel that the individuality that I have with the Lord is really heightened when I do fast and pray and not worry about physical things. And it's a really good exercise for me as far as cleansing, because I do have kind of an addiction to food, and it's psychological. So it keeps me focused, and really keeps me focused on Jesus fasting, and that if He could fast and do all the things He did, I can do one day.
Well, if you, okay, so you start on Sunday night and you don't eat, but you just drink water and tea on Monday. When do you go back to eating? How long do you actually fast?
Well, I do a fast until the next morning, and it could be any time between 8 and 10 o'clock, because I don't have a structured time.
Okay. But you do this on a somewhat regular basis, right?
Well, actually, it started in the summertime for this particular fast. Okay. I had not fasted regularly for many years, actually. Mm-hmm. I had made many attempts, but had not followed through. But there was an individual who challenged us to fast and pray for a certain organization. And I decided that I wanted to commit to that, and that other people would actually have to know about it, because it was asked that we would commit. Mm-hmm. Some people committed to one day, 2 days, or 3 days, or for a particular thing that they fasted from.
So since then, though, you've been doing it on your own. What started off as a group thing, you kind of continued on your own.
Yes, and then when it was over, because it was just designated for like a week, I said, well, is there any reason not to continue? And the person said, absolutely not. And this person, I think, fasts and prays periodically and was a good example for me.
Okay, well, that leads us to another component that, and we've mentioned this, that fasting and prayer just go together. And so over the summer, as that fast began with your friend, you had a particular thing that you were fasting for. Since then, on any given fasting day for you, do you have like kind of one thing that you're fasting and praying over that day? Or is it
numerous things? Do you plan that in advance, or does it kind of just as the Lord leads you pray over something in particular? What does the prayer look like for you that day?
Well, the prayer can be a variety of things. Mm-hmm. Since I do it every Monday, and I often, or every day, I pray and for my family, so I've added their names to the fasting on that particular day, especially ones who are not following the Lord or never have. So, and then I do other things as they come up, mm-hmm. as people often request prayer from me now, mm-hmm. because they know I will commit to pray. I write it down and I will do that on an individual basis. Mm-hmm. If there are larger things that need to be prayed for, mm-hmm. things that will affect our society as far as life issues, mm-hmm. I will pray for that and other things that come up. So it can be a variety of things. I also like to offer now, because I do every day, for pastors. Mm-hmm. And I think they're an important element to be uplifted because of so many ways that they are trying to be shut down. So,
do you, you're a real structured person, so that's actually a good bit of things to focus on, which no wonder it takes you more than a day. Do you have a structure about the way that you pray throughout the day, or is it just as the Lord leads, those are things that you could pull from to pray about?
I have 3x5 cards, and I have individuals' names and what I need to pray for. And people who are close friends will often call me about things that are happening immediately, or it could be other things that come up during the day, but... Mm-hmm. I do pray for probably hundreds and hundreds of people every day.
Wow.
And it's prayer cards, mm-hmm. structure. That's me.
Well, it clearly makes sure that nothing gets lost in the cracks, which is really nice for those of us who are written on your cards. Okay, well, the other thing that kind of leads into some of the benefits that, and you touched on some already, some of the benefits that you get from doing this. The truth of the matter is, if you do anything on a regular basis, if you don't find it beneficial, you're not going to do it anymore. And yet you keep doing this. And so while there are lots of things that we do for other people, over the course of time, unless we can see that it's actually beneficial to ourselves or even to somebody else close to us, we'll stop. And so what do you see are some of the benefits that you get from doing this week after week?
Well, partly it is, I feel a closer connection with people in the Bible, especially Jesus Christ, who was the one who fasted for 40 days and was able to withstand all of the ploys that are out there in society. So it helps me to have a closer relationship with him when I fast. It also encourages me when I see answers to my fast.
Oh, yeah.
And that is big. It doesn't happen really often, shall I say, but it does happen occasionally. And I have the time to do it. There's a season in life when you're called to do things. And it's a habit that I really enjoy now, and setting aside that time. So it brings joy in my life.
One of the other things that you had mentioned before was that you had addictions to foods. And sometimes fasting kind of helps them lose their grip, perhaps. Can you tell us a little bit about kind of what that looks like? And if you notice it when it happens, or just in thinking about it on a grand scale, you're like, now, wait a minute, I didn't eat that today.
Well, I would say that that is very sporadic. Uh-huh. It's not consistent. Sometimes when I do the fast and I recognize that it's helping my physical body, that it would be a good idea to continue it. But I can say that that is very sporadic.
But nonetheless, it does heighten your awareness that those things exist. It kind of puts in mind the young man that I did a previous interview with. He says there were lots of things that I didn't realize, in a sense, had a more prominent place in my life than they should. And so if I also have an extremely addictive personality. Extremely. I can get addicted to anything. And so a lot of times we don't even realize that what we're seeing is an addiction to something that isn't Christ. And I think that yours is food, and so for an even more obvious reason, fasting would help you to identify that. But it just loses its grip a little, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'd say that it's helpful in doing that. It's a great reminder. Mm. And anytime you are have something put in your mind that comes consistently, like setting aside the day for fasting, it does have a carryover, definitely. Right. So yeah. I would offer up other addictions that you have in your life and see if the Lord doesn't answer that prayer.
Yeah. That leads to another point that we had discussed earlier about accountability. And when I had asked you before, what are some of these benefits? Talk through what it does for you that this is a structure in your life now. And one of the things that you mentioned was accountability. And I said, who are you accountable to? And there are not many people who can make a promise to the Lord and feel as though they're now held accountable to that. Oftentimes that's the price that we pay for not being able to see him in the flesh at this point. And it makes it more difficult at times. And I understand that. But to you, to tell the Lord you're going to do something means that you're going to do that thing. And so your accountability is to him.
That's right. First and foremost, it's to the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that created me. Mm-hmm. So I'm the one that needs to be most accountable to him. He's the one who died for my sins. He's the one who has brought life and joy into my life, so many things. Mm-hmm. So in order to show my thankfulness, I think that accountability is a very helpful thing to remind me to be thankful to.
Right.
There are so many benefits from doing this. It helps me recognize that I need to forgive others. Mm-hmm. I need to accept the grace that God offers, that I can't any way earn my salvation, that he has paid the price. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I am accountable to other people, or hold other people accountable occasionally if they would choose that, and meet particularly in prayer for mm-hmm. a prayer accountability, not only the fasting part. So those are just some of the things that are meaningful as far as accountability, and encourage other people. If they see that I can do it, I think that mm-hmm. encourages them as well. And I have been a part of a prayer group where that was initiated recently. And I know that there are two or three people that really have mm-hmm. risen to the challenge, because we know that that question will come up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be asked of you later. Well, I do want to come back to the group dynamic, but one of the things you said, thanks and gratitude and grace, and you have a word picture that you often share, and in fasting it helps you to identify with his sacrifice. So tell us what that word picture is, that visual is for you.
Well, and this came to me many years ago, and I often pray this and thank the Lord for it. It's a vision of me standing before Jesus Christ, and I'm covered in the blackness of sin from head to toe. And Jesus then takes himself and puts himself on the cross, and he's bleeding. And that blood is showered over me from head to toe and cleansing me from all that sin, because I cannot take it away myself. And then as all the blood drips off of me, I turn white from head to toe, recognizing that Jesus has taken all my sins for all eternity.
And that's a way to relate. You know, we read in scripture, you know, to associate with him in his suffering. And what a blessing Paul says that is, to be able to share in his sufferings. And fasting is just this tiny little thing that says, mm-hmm. I'm going to forego something that not only is it something that I might want, but something that on the whole we need, but that I can survive without from Sunday night to Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. It says, I'm going to make this sacrifice, and in that way identify with, in the tiny, tiniest of little senses, identify with all that he forewent, you know, the sacrifices that he made. It's just that one little way in which we could relate on a small scale. Mm-hmm. And fasting does that for us. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, is there anything else that you can think of that that you think that somebody who has just, and we're going to talk about the group dynamic in just a few minutes, but that somebody who's not tried this, somebody who doesn't know what fasting looks like, and with whole generations being raised not even knowing that it still exists, what's something that surprises you or that you think, oh, people should know this about fasting, that you think might be helpful for somebody trying to learn?
That's a great question. And to encourage other people, I think, is mainly just being an example. Mm-hmm. You can tell people about it, but you don't want to badger them or make them feel guilty if they don't feel led to do it. Because mm-hmm. yeah. I think that I just need to pray that people will see that fasting is a possibility in their lives, yes. that it does have benefits, but not treat them as if they don't do it, then they're not
right.
worthy.
So there are even reasons why someone shouldn't. Please consult a physician if you before you do this, if there's any reason why you should forego eating for 24 hours. That's absolutely something that people need to consider. But that is exactly what I would like for a whole generation of believers to just say, you know what, I've never tried that. I think I should just try this. I think I should see mm-hmm. if this is a mm-hmm. discipline that that might enhance my relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And there's a really good chance. Have you ever had a fasting day where you felt like it was a wasted day?
I can honestly say no. It might not be that I spent as much time in the Word or praying as much, but I've really never felt that. I like to reach goals, so I feel a sense of accomplishment. And yeah. it's not as if I don't have temptations during the day. Right. Most every day there are some temptations. And the other thing is, I do not want to feel so structured that if something important comes up on my one fasting day, that I would not change it to another fasting day. So I think that's another thing that is important, to not shut off relationships by not being with people mm-hmm. who are maybe not even Christians, but ones that feel that you're over the top
right.
and you're mm-hmm. an extremist.
Right. That leads me to another question, though. If you do this on a regular basis, then physically, how do you feel? Like, if you don't eat for 36 hours once a week, that's a lot. I mean, a lot of times if I skip a meal, then I'm kind of weak in the morning or whatever. How physically do you feel like you feel any differently, better or worse, because you do this?
As a matter of fact, fasting is physically not that difficult. My stomach rumbles. I desire food, but it's not something that is critical in my life. And I don't know whether it has developed into that or whether the Lord has just given me that. But I don't have like weak spells other than mentally and Satan's ploys. But it doesn't affect me physically in a negative way at all.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, let's talk for a minute. It's come up a number of times, the idea of other people and the part that they play in your fasting, whether it was you saying that you prayed for particular people or whatever and what it did for those relationships, or having someone else, like you said, you had the friend that initiated the fast last summer. There have been a number of times when other people have played into your decision to fast. So what is the group dynamic for you? All the way back to you started this pattern because somebody asked you to do it for 3 days, or you restarted this habit. What about the people that you pray for on these fasting days? What happens to your relationship with them as you fast and pray over them?
I think I have a greater love for them. I have a desire that they grow in their faith, whether they're already saved or not, that it would be important for me to be a consistent example to them in how I live my life, because I think how we live our lives is probably the best temperature of where you are spiritually.
You know, Scripture tells us that that's how we're supposed to be identified, It's how somebody is supposed to be able to say, I know what they are. They're a Christian because mm-hmm. I see how much they love others. And yet we've just tempered that with so many other temporal things that pure love really isn't very easily or very often exhibited. But I have found that the more I pray for somebody, it's irregardless of what they're actually doing or how they treat me or what I might want from them or anything else. It's just pure. I just have, even if I don't know them, I find myself drawn to them, wanting good for them. Mm-hmm. There's just a connection that happens between the prayer and the one being prayed for. Mm-hmm. And so those connections for you, if you're doing this and you've got these cards and you're spending this much time, surely there is just a love that develops in you for people that there would be an animosity for if not for that spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I can think of several people that I pray for by name that I don't know and may never know. And yet I feel led because of a connection with someone else in my family or with friends. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how people ask me to pray for people I don't know because they know I will, that I will follow through.
Right.
Now, I do not make it an example of telling people I fast.
Right.
That is not it. It's more people know that I pray.
Right.
But the two go together.
Right.
And I would not be able to fast if I didn't pray.
Right. Right. Okay. Well, to another element of the community part, the man who asked you over summer, and I know that there is another individual in your life who also. There are a lot of people who have never, as you mentioned, and do you ever tell anybody? I mean, I knew in advance that you fasted on Monday, but that's not something typically that I think about what day of week it is when we meet each other. Do you typically have someone that holds you accountable that day to say, oh, no. Now, Miss Jeannie, aren't you on a fast today? You know, do you typically have someone who has that tangible accountability for you?
No, just the Lord. And because I've committed to do it, I verbally committed to do it to someone else. Mm-hmm. But that person does not hold me accountable, does not even ask me.
But I know you too enough to know that if they were to ask you, you'd tell them the truth, and you wouldn't like it if you couldn't tell them that you had done what you said you were going to do.
Yes, I would feel guilt.
Yes.
And that's a part of being sanctified and a part of carrying on with making a commitment.
Okay, so the one gentleman that prompted you to do this over the summer, that kind of respawned a love in you and a desire to make this a weekly habit. But there's also another gentleman in your life that I know his... he has fasting as a pattern of his discipline as well. And so I see these other people who are playing into your own decision to do it. Is that an encouragement to you, and how so?
Absolutely, because they set the example. And I hope it's not to please them or make them think that I am holier than thou or anything like that. Just that I am so grateful that they gave me that challenge and that I'm able to carry through, even though it's not easy some days. Some days when I don't feel as close to the Lord, some days when things have happened in my life that were not what I planned on. Another element, though, I wanted to point out was when we pray and fast, we need to do it in God's will. It's not, the outcome is not ours, the outcome is God's.
Which actually, that was a few minutes ago. That's one of the things that I had noted when you said that you've never regretted having done it. Mm-hmm. I know that there are lots of times when I ask for something and I went into a prayerful season, whether it was a fast or not, and I was looking for an answer. And because I turned to the Lord looking for that answer, whether I got it or not actually became irrelevant because I was closer to Him and I didn't need my answer. I just realized I needed Him and He was it. And so I could totally see where you're coming from on that. But there's this beautiful element of what you've already described and what I know to be true that other people have played into and continue to play into your decision to pursue this discipline with such a fervor and a discipline. You've made it a discipline, the very meaning of the word. I have known you to be a fasting warrior for a long time, and it's a huge encouragement. And in case you wouldn't know it, Miss Jeannie is not my age, and there is much to be learned from a wisdom that she has acquired through the years. And it's just a beautiful thing to be able to see somebody who says, I could do other things, and I have done other things. And I've lived all manner of ways, and I've tried all kinds of things. And this is what I want to do week in and week out. This is how mm-hmm. I want to spend my time. This is what I find valuable. And so while you are getting encouragement from those others who have spurred you on to reestablish this, it trickles down, you know, it trickles down to the rest of us too. So is there anything else that you can tell us about? So you have taken part, you've already mentioned that you've taken part in a group context fasting. Is that something that now you've told us that you do it on your own on a regular basis, but we know you've done it in a group for those 3 days or that week that you mentioned. Is there any sort of enhancement that happened doing one over the other? Do you prefer one or the other?
I think they complement each other, mm-hmm. and I would like to continue nice. With both, actually.
Nice. I can see a benefit of both of those, too. I love that idea. That this is something, there are a lot of things that it's just me, and I've got a situation that, you know, mm-hmm. I need guidance on, or I just feel mm-hmm. repentant. That's another thing that you had said that you get from mm-hmm. fasting. You feel mm-hmm. like there's just a pull toward repentance when you fast.
And also, it shows you ways that you need to pray and fast mm-hmm. that you did not understand or know about. It gives you new knowledge as well, whether it's directly from God's word or whether it's from other sources. Mm-hmm. But it gives me an opportunity to pray and fast for other things I would not have thought to pray for. And one thing I was thinking that would be helpful also for people who want to learn to do this is to have an accountability partner and be able to communicate and tell people that they're praying for them and what their struggles are and how can I pray mm-hmm. even more, and not force that on anyone by any means. Right. Make it something that is a cooperative
right.
thing.
Mutual. Yeah.
So I see that would be very helpful, especially someone starting new in fasting.
Excellent point. And I have not really thought about essentially what you were explaining just a second ago was discernment. You discerned things that you needed to pray about that you weren't aware of before. And so even mm-hmm. your discernment is heightened mm-hmm. or enhanced because you chose to do this. It's almost like you clear away these other things and mm-hmm. you've wiped off the mud off your eyes and you get to see a little bit clearer. The benefits, they really do just... The more this whole conversation between you and I, between Micah and I, and between the Lord and myself, there are a lot of things, and you even mentioned this the last time we spoke on the phone, was that you have given more thought to doing this than you had in the past. The benefits mm-hmm. that are there and the things that make me drawn to continue to attempt to wield this disciplinary weapon well, they keep coming out of the woodwork. And I keep noticing that there are a lot of things that are drawing me here. Discernment's not one I would have come up with, and that's a really good picture of, I want to be more discerning. I don't know too many believers that don't want to chase that. I'd love to see things for what they really are, and to see things that are hiding, and see people for what they really are. And if we could do that, then the faces that people put on, they get torn off in discernment, and we see what's the hurt that's behind them, and it's easier to meet their needs when you know where their sorrows are. So discernment's a great thing to chase. So helps us to get there. Is there any other counsel that you might want to offer? Anything that that you think might be beneficial?
I'd like to stress that we're bold in asking for more sermons on fasting. Whether you can approach elders or deacons mm-hmm. or whoever the leadership is in your church, yeah. That you would express a desire that we learn about it. It is biblical and is an example in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's something we need. Our nation is falling prey to so much immorality, so we need to be dedicated to pray and fast diligently in numbers, on our own, in every possible way. So that would be my challenge.
I love it. I very much appreciate this. I appreciate your perspective, your example, your thoughtfulness, your playing off of leaning in order to give the rest of us something to lean in on too. So I'm very appreciative. Thank you.
And I'm appreciative of you as well. God bless you.
Thank you so very much.